It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
Well, you got 50% of that. Mike Ward is on assignment. Hi, I'm Sean Sullivan. Welcome to FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And a lot to talk about on today's show. Of course, we are in the throes of the aftermath of Snowmageddon, or the record snow of this last week. And a lot of people getting out just finally this weekend to go deer hunting, or maybe you got to deer hunt during the snow. I did, and that was pretty darn special. And if you wondered if it was just good where you were or good all over our area, I bring in my friend and the man behind Skinner's Wild Game Processing, Jay Graddick, to talk with us this morning as well. Jay, thanks for being on.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. We've lost Mike this week. He is on assignment. It's you and I, so we could tell, you know, if we want to just tell Mike Ward stories all morning, we can do that as well.
I bet you I can think up a couple of good ones.
This is good. Well, this will be a addition on Mike edition of the show. But first off, you know, a pretty special week. We talked about the weather, and I had some great hunts. Just the fun of sitting there in the snow, not freezing my butt off, but sitting there in the snow in Mobile County, Alabama, and deer hunting. It was pretty awesome. Did you get to get out during the snow any and hunt?
Well, actually, up here in Thomasville, we didn't really have any. We had a little dusting, and that was it.
That is right. I was looking at the maps. We got way more down here along the coast than y'all did up there. But it was still plenty cold up there, right?
Oh, yeah. It got really cold down to 10 degrees one morning.
Yeah, and I have a little trouble hearing you, too, if you get a little closer to the phone there. But the looking at the temperatures, over the years we've been on this show complaining like, well, the rut came in, but, you know, we didn't have any real weather to get them moving. That changed. We can, at least for this year, stop our belly aching about not having the cold. I mean, we had, like you said, we had some real old-school cold.
Absolutely. And, you know, we didn't have big wind in it either. So if you could handle the cold, the conditions were good to hunt. And, our customers stacked them up this week. I mean, it's just, you keep asking yourself where in the world all these big bucks coming from. But, I mean, it's just been, you know, one right after the other.
If y'all want a visual aid as we're talking to Jay this morning, go over to Skinner's Wild Game Processing on Facebook, and you can see not only some real impressive individual pictures, but there was one I saw, I guess, last night I was looking at. It was just them laid out. Just laid, like just a row of bucks laying there on the concrete. I don't know what afternoon that was, but that was something.
Yeah, that was, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday afternoon. There's a lot of times, Sean, that we just don't have the time to take the picture. When you've got just, I spend most of my time directing traffic, getting trucks in and out, politely, you know, getting the customers to back up, drop their deer off, move their vehicle, then go inside, get their paperwork, make sure the paperwork gets on the correct deer and all that good stuff. There's a lot of deer getting caped right now. People are mounting these bucks. So, you know, all that coordination so that our customer's happy in the end, and we're efficient in trying to get them in and out of there. And we just don't have the time to dedicate to taking pictures. So that's a sampling of the deer that came in Wednesday.
Yeah, I've said this in the past for years with you. It does feel like cheating, and I like it. Because we talked to you about when those deer show up at Skinner's, right? This is good intel, and you have given us definite peaks. Like, yeah, we can look at rut maps, we could talk about these theories, but you're on the front line of this. So, I mean, this week been the best that you've seen in this season so far?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And traditionally, I mean, if there's anybody listening, and next year, a lot of these companies, you have to plan your vacation way in advance, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a deer hunter and you really want to enjoy rut activity, this third week in January, right now into the fourth week, early fourth week of January, is the time. You're going to see more bucks on their feet. And if you're not seeing them, you're just in the wrong place because it's happening. And it's that way. I've done this now. This is our 14th year, I think. And it's been the same broken record every year. It doesn't matter what the moon's doing. It doesn't matter any of that stuff that more of a commercial reason to buy things, okay? It's that third, early fourth week in January. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I wonder about that. I do want to come back. We'll come back later on in the show and talk about, you said something, you said it before, if you're not seeing them, you're just not in the right place. I want to talk to you about where the right place is. But before that, it's, you know, I've kind of, Alabama maybe doesn't have as many different rut zones as Mississippi, for example, but we got quite a bunch. You know, we've talked about this in the past, from up in the Bankhead National Forest to down here in southwest Alabama. I'm in one of these oddities in Mobile County that my deer kind of rut like the Black Belt. But then again, they rut like southwest Alabama deer. I get another wave. You know, I've always put, you know, what I thought my peak was is the middle of January, the 15th. You're saying the week after that. Do you think it's because just the rut's still going on, or do you think people are bridging that first wave, you know, like kind of a Black Belt rut, and then the beginning of that, we'll call it the southwest, you know, the western Washington County, you know, February 10th, 15th rut?
Yes, you know, it's hard to try to determine exactly what's causing this or what influences it. I can just tell you, like yesterday, a man brings me a deer yesterday about 1:30 in the afternoon, 2 o'clock. And man, nice buck. He said, yeah, you should have seen the other four. I said, the other four? He said, yeah, there were four bigger ones and a small one chasing the same doe. And I was able to get this one in a clear cut.
And this one was how big? I mean, you said it was a good buck.
It was a nice, it was 120, you know, 125, 100.
That's a good deer.
Know, yeah, 8 point, 9 point, whatever it was. And I'm like, he said, I'm more than happy with this one, but you should have seen the other ones. And I said, you couldn't get a shot? He said, I just could not get on them, and this was the last one that I was able to see going over, you know, I guess a hill or something. And he said, I was able to shoot this one, and he shot it in the back hip and was able to get him. But anyway, back to our point is I can only tell you, Sean, from having – Skinner's in Thomasville, that third week in January, and for some reason or other, it seems like it's on a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. I don't know if there's less pressure or activity in the woods, or I have no idea why that is. But that third week, we take in a tremendous amount of bucks. Now, are they actually breeding? I don't know. Are they on their feet? Yeah,
and that's a question too. We've talked about before, like if you had to pick your favorite time, you know, is it in the cruising phase or the chasing phase? I mean, because people say sometimes you get into, when you get a lull, it's because they're laid up with the does or whatever the hip term is, a lockdown or whatever the, you know, social media people are using when that happens. You and I have talked about this in the past. If one buck's locked down, there's three that are not, right? I mean,
absolutely. You got the worst scenario you can have is a doe that's ready. Day before yesterday, I went to help my nephew with the deer that he had shot, and I took a buggy back there, and a really nice buck. I mean, really, really nice buck, and a doe, and a looked like a long spike. All right, they were together. They got up and were running down a hollow. Okay. But it's right now they are getting together with these does, and you're gonna have a point in time you're gonna go, wow, what happened? Where'd they go? You know, and fortunately, for 20-something years, I've got to see the rut in the Midwest,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you will have you're either gonna have some very very happy hunters where they stumbled on that doe and that big buck and was able to shoot the deer. Are you going to have some hunters that, man, I ain't seen a deer in 3 days hardly. You know, I mean, it's that does happen. But right now, I can just tell you, they are on their feet.
Okay.
Now, is every deer or the biggest, or is this the largest number of the oldest bucks on their feet right now? I don't really think so. I think that's going to happen in the next 10 days.
Okay. So y'all listen to that, because Jay, even with everything, and if y'all are looking at the Facebook page, you're like, what's he talking about, the bigger deer? But you have said this every year that, you know, I mean, and early on, I mean, most people will say, hey, man, I'm seeing the spikes and the 4 points, mess with those. That's real early. You're not seeing the bigger bucks in the daylight. Then you see a little bit bigger bucks. But you think it then, this next week coming, this is when the sure enough good ones are getting out in the daylight.
This is when you're going to have, like right now, Sean, I weighed a deer for a gentleman this morning, weighed 198 pounds. This deer is probably a good 3-4 year old buck. All right, so body weight's not going to tell you everything about their age, but at the same time, the biggest bucks they don't just chase a bunch of does around. In my opinion, that's what I've seen. Just my personal observations, especially what you can apply from the Midwest to Alabama. However, this is what I call a pestering phase. They're chasing these does all over the place. Every buck that's got horns on his head, spikes, you're going to see spikes, 4 points, and all that good stuff running around. That started happening about 5-6 days ago. And now there are bigger bucks. I mean, they brought in a ton of nice bucks in the last 2 days. But that's going to continue, and I think you're going to see a transition into more big bucks, more older class bucks.
I like what you're saying. Hey, hold on. We're going to go to the news break and come right back. More with our buddy Jay Graddick, Skinner's Wild Game Processing. You talk about, you want the intel, the real deal? Well, the band that sees them every day up in Thomasville can tell you what's happening better than anybody I know. And we'll get back to it, and maybe some techniques to where to be in this next week. We'll do that when we come back on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan without Mike Ward. He's on assignment. But my buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing here, we could do a whole show. Some next time he's gone and we're not talking about the rut, Jay, we'll just stay on here and tell Mike Ward stories. How about that?
We'll do that. I think we'll have some fun there.
It'll be good stuff. I do want to say this, too, as we get back into kind of this idea this week coming up and the oldest of the bucks getting on their feet in the daylight. I do want to talk about a story that happened this last week. So good friends of mine, their son killed his first buck on his own. And I think you can probably remember that. I mean, there was killing a buck, and then there was, you got to sit on your own and you killed the buck and you got to, you know, I mean, that pride. I remember being so proud. I mean, I'd killed a buck before with my dad and I was so excited, but the one I killed a little 6-point on my own. You couldn't have told me nothing. My head was so big.
I know it.
I knew it all.
You won't believe the people that come in the meat house, these young folks. And now some of them are a little bit reserved, but then every now and then you'll have them over and say, hey, tell me about your hunt. Now what did he do? Man, that joker come up out of here, did this, and I waited till he got like this, and I put the smack down on him. You know, I mean, some of them just fall right in there, and then some of them are like, well, I shot it. When I could, you know, so we have fun with it, you know. We really, really enjoy.
I love the stories, but I know I do.
Oh, I love them too.
Makes a big part of hunting fun. But yeah, so some friends of mine, I want to say, because we've talked about it before, how y'all will stay open late, and he killed this buck and called Bruce at the shop there and got the deer dropped off. Y'all are real accommodating. So for people to know, they go, okay, you know, often you shoot a buck and it's, you know, afternoon hunt, or what are you going to do? Y'all work with people, and that's really appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. Our when I got this place, they were bad about, it's 8:00, we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, wait a minute. If we know we got customers coming with a deer, we stay. So what I'll say is, if you shoot a deer, I don't care where you're coming from, by the time you get the deer loaded, by the time you maybe take a few pictures or whatever, and then drive over here from wherever, it's hard to get here by 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we know that. So what you do is just call us. Give us, make sure you give us your name, because I've made this mistake before. Somebody come late and I think it's the person I talked to, and then I leave. And then I get a phone call, hey man, you said you'd stay here. Whoa, wait a minute, I'll be right back. So please give us your name, your number, and we, first of all, we're not gonna get out of there by 8 o'clock between now and then hunt season, more than likely. But just give us a call. We'll make sure we hang in there for you and take care of you.
Well, you did it, and Bruce did it, and it was perfect. I mean, this kid was so excited about his buck, and y'all hanging out to get it processed. That's great stuff. So you're talking about this week coming up. So you feel, I mean, it's been fantastic. People can look at your Facebook page, see the bucks that come in. But you think this week coming, like, you know, this is maybe even better? Even better?
It's gonna be better for your older age class.
And you were getting into this before we went to the break, too, that those older age class bucks may not chase like the three-year-olds.
This is like right now it's like going out to the bar, you know, and when you were 20 years old and running around and maybe into your early 30s, okay? Well, once you get to be about 40, 50, you're a little bit more reserved on things. Mm-hmm. You're not quite as outgoing, and that's the way that's the way animals are too. These old bucks, will they fight another buck? You'd hang right, they will. It'll be brutal, but they're not running all over the countryside as much as these 3 year olds and things like that. These 2 year olds. So your age class has a lot to do with it around in the area that you're hunting, whether or not you're going to see it or not. But it's there. I mean, it's going to happen.
Okay, you were mentioning earlier, too, because of them being more reserved, are you going to change where you're hunting that buck? I mean, because, you know, this time of year, I'd like to be, Lord knows I haunt the power lines and gas lines and long roads on my place. Do you change that?
Yes, sir. I think you do. I think, first of all, don't pick it. If a doe walks out, if you're on a, I don't care if it's a bulldoze fire line, if it's a road, a power line, a gas line, the edge of a clear cut or whatever, and all of a sudden this doe pops up, pick up your gun.
Yeah, there's a deer on my wall because I did. Yeah. And it's hard, too. I mean, it is hard because I have to force myself, just tell on myself, because I feel like I'm going to be judging a buck, right, because I'm trying to shoot, we're trying to shoot older age class bucks. And I hate to make... I feel like I'm moving more picking up the rifle than I am with binoculars. But, I mean, you're right. Every time, I mean, I've never been disappointed that I had the rifle up.
Well, what's happened is, now, John, we grew up dog hunting where when you heard that deer coming or the dogs got closer or you heard or saw a glimpse of him, he's coming, that safety went off. You was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... But we watched too many TV shows where, okay, we got to get the range finder out. First of all, is it a shooter?
Yeah.
Yep, it's a shooter. All right, let's get the range finder. Let's see. It's 160, and then you got to pick up your gun that's capable of shooting 300 yards, okay? I got to get on him. Now, do you got him on the camera yet? Yeah, I got him. Okay, I'm going to stop him. And then they stop him and then wait about 4 or 5 seconds. The deer stands around there, and then they shoot it. Well, that's not Clark County, Alabama.
And it didn't Washington County either. It didn't Mobile County either.
Exactly. So forget now where you were busy looking to see if that, what was my binoculars and all that kind of stuff. Just remember, because I've already had a couple of customers this happened to. Doe steps out, especially if she looks behind her.
Uh-huh.
She steps out, then she turns around and looks behind her. Get your gun ready. You might have 2 seconds. You might have a minute. More than likely, you're going to have less than 5 seconds, okay? You're going to have to decide if you're going to shoot that buck or not, and you're not going to be able to look at him with your binoculars. Put your binoculars down, then get your gun out and get it ready and all that good stuff. It's going to happen fast.
Do you change though? Like, you know, we're talking about that. If you're not, I mean, do you go back to the? Are you in thicker play? You know, like earlier in the season, we're hunting bottoms or next to a thicket or something like that to try to find older bucks. Do you go back to those areas, or are you still like going where? I mean, I just think, you know, you got to find the place that has the most number of does, right?
Your does help, okay, but I'm going to go back to our good friends over at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a podcast, it wasn't too long ago, that said, you know, that a radio caller to over 1,000 3-year-old and older bucks and followed them for years. And the one place they don't go is in the wide open woods. They like to, and these, when these does are ready to breed, they're not social.
That's true. They've run the yearlings off. They're not with other does. Yep.
So they find this little spot, this little area. It can be a hollow. It can be a creek bottom. It can be some bug timber been cut. You know, it's just got a lot of great cover. They can stand around in there most all day long, eat a little bit, lay down a little bit. They don't just travel all over the place. And they're kind of recluse, and that buck is right there with her the whole time. And so it's hard hunting.
Yeah, because you're worried about what's happening out on the big green field. You're worried about what's happening out on the big open power line, you know. But
I wish there was a way we could take a survey and say, pick 1,000 hunters that hunt the green field during this time of year, and have them all give data back on what they saw. And you had the same 1,000 hunters that hunted in the woods during this period of time, and let them give data back on what they saw as far as buck activity and things of this nature. Now, you're going to have that buck that's going to walk out there in that green field. He's going to make that mistake and make a bad decision on that given day, and somebody's going to shoot him. That's going to happen. But I think the percentages of whether or not you sit in a food plot that's got 20, 30 does in it, thinking that, well, I got all these does, that big buck's going to run out here and act like a fool. It does happen. But I think you have a better opportunity if you either hunt travel corridors or adjacent to good doe bedding area. I think you're going to have a much better opportunity to shoot an older age class buck doing that than you are sitting on the green field.
Why do I feel like I'm getting a lecture that's specific to the way I've been screwing up?
I get in that mode
where I'm like, yeah, but there's a lot of does over here. And I see, I mean, I've been great hunts. I see, you know, between 3 and 6 rack bucks on a hunt there, but there's not a one of them that I even knocked the safety off. You know, there is just, yep. It's like you're talking to me specifically on what I've been doing wrong, maybe, and not getting back where, my gosh, I don't, you know, if I sit, and I sit some of those places in the morning and have had good hunts, but I'm always worried about what's going on where I can see more. But the reality right. is, where I can see more, I'm not seeing the deer that I want to shoot.
Well, you got to understand, too, now, I was raised and I came up in areas where it's pressured, okay?
Oh, I grew up hunting public land. Yeah, believe me. Yeah,
exactly. So if you're hunting these places that get almost no pressure, you got these 400, 500, 600-yard green fields, and it's a whole nother world. Then I can't even advise. I can't even give you any insight to what to do there. But I'm talking about woods with scattered food plots throughout the countryside on different properties, and just pressured deer hunting this time of year.
Now, great.
That's what I know about.
Well, they are great tips. Jay, remind folks if they are in that condition where they, you know, kill that buck, take some pictures, and then go, gosh, we got to get to the processor. What's your phone number? What do they do here?
Okay, call Bruce at 251-605-6355. He's the best one to contact. I might be slipping around doing a little hunting there about dark, okay? But he's around the meat house a little more than I am. But we'll be glad to take care of him.
Good stuff, Jay. Can't wait to check in with you soon here and see how this week went.
All right, y'all be careful. And look, safety, safety, safety. I had a friend of mine had an accident putting up a ladder stand. Please be safe in these woods. It ain't worth it. Take the time. Pay attention to what you're doing. And do it safely.
Well said. There he is, Jay Granick with Skinner's Wild Game Processing. And we're coming right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan. Mike Ward is on assignment this week. It's okay. He'll be back with us next week, hopefully with a story to tell. You know, the first half of the show, we're talking about the snowstorm, the cold weather, and the excitement around deer hunting, right? The cold weather and snow and getting you fired up to get in the woods makes deer hunting a lot better. But then my buddy Captain Wayne Miller, who we talked to, he sent me pictures, and I'm looking at pictures. Get Captain Wayne on. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Hey, Sean. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Good to talk to you as well. I'm looking at pictures, y'all, of bass that Captain Wayne's catching. This is on Friday, and chunky Mobile Tensaw River Delta bass on multiple lures, and there's snow in the background. Wayne, is that a first for you?
Yeah, I tell you what, I think it is, Sean. I tell you, man.
What are bass doing hitting? What are bass doing hitting when there's snow on the ground? Don't they know they're supposed to be like not biting?
Well, you know, I have people pick at me all the time because they see me with a boat hooked up, and they're like, "Man, you can't be going fishing." And I always have a standard response to that, and I always tell people, "Do you eat when it's cold?"
You're right. I mean, you are right.
Makes them think. But, I mean, it definitely slows their metabolism down, especially when you get these water temps like we've got right now. But, man, these fish, they're biting. I mean, it's and we see that every year. Now, we typically don't have these conditions. But it's unusual for us to see water temperatures get below 50. But a lot of the water I've been catching fish in has been down around the 46, 47-degree mark.
And it's, I mean, this is really cold water, but I mean, I'm looking at, you know, I don't want to give away all your secrets, but you know, I'm looking at, stick baits, you know, crankbaits, stick baits, soft plastics that you're catching these on, a variety of baits too. It wasn't just, cause I mean, when I look at these lip baits, it's not like you were, with soft plastic, you might've been moving it at an inch an hour, but you weren't with those others. So, I mean, they're still... Even in 46-degree water, a cold, you know, for people that didn't pay attention in science, fish are cold-blooded. That means that fish's body temperature is what the water is. And they're still moving and hitting baits like crankbaits.
Well, you know, that's the great thing about our fishery is, you know, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the middle delta or the lower delta this time of year. I mean, basically what you have, these fish stack in these creeks. You know, and that's where they'll stay until it's time to spawn. Now, down along the causeway, you know, once it warms up, you know, there'll be waves of those fish that move into those bays. Right now, they're in all these creeks. Now, you know, the one good thing about that is, you know, the water's relatively shallow. I mean, you know, a lot of our creeks, you know, when you start looking at, you know, what's the deepest water in them, it may be, you know, 6 to 8 feet. So you can make a lot of different presentations to these fish, but one of the real keys, and I think it's probably more important this time of year than any other time, is being versatile, because with that water temperature that low, you've got to find something that triggers those fish. So, you know, when I go out, I don't go out, you know, with my mindset, well, I'm going to catch them on a crankbait, and by golly, I'm going to make them eat a crankbait. So I'm going to throw it all day long. You know what I mean? That's a setup for failure. you know, you really got to be versatile and have a lot of different baits on the deck. And, you know, try different retrieves. I mean, some of those baits that you saw in those pictures, Sean, you know, it's important, the bait and the depth it runs, and even the color can be really important. But probably more than anything else, it's a retrieve. Because in that tight water and really cold water, you ask any fisherman, and it's all about, you know, triggering that strike. But the great thing is, once you figure that out in a particular tree, until the conditions change, you know, being the tide or the wind or, you know, the water level, whatever it is, you know, a lot of times you can reproduce that all through that creek. And so it's really, you know, a lot of times I'll have guys with me, and I always, you know, anytime I've got somebody with me, I always want them to be throwing something different for me. And I know it's aggravating as all get out, man, but anytime somebody's in the back of my boat and catches a fish, man, I pelt them with questions. You know, how were you cranking it? How were you retrieving it? You know, how far out was it? You know, how did he bite it? You know, because you want to get all that information you can, because it's just a puzzle this time of year. And once you put it together, you know, it's the difference between going out and catching, you know, 5 or 8 fish and catching 48.
Yeah, you figured out how to get those numbers. And those fish, river fish are footballs as they are, but are these, I mean, do you think they're packing on eggs, or have they just been eating that good? These are, these are chunkies.
They're packing on eggs big time. I kept a few fish a couple of weeks ago, and I purposely didn't keep, you know, big fish. I just kept about 6 to fillet and eat. And, but, you know, I kept about 1.5 to 2 pound fish, but, you know, there were several of those that were just full of roe. So, I mean, those pictures, those old fat ones that you see in those pictures, yeah, man, they're ready to rumble.
Now, Ed, look at it.
You know, I mean, we'll have fish when that water warms up. I mean, we'll have waves of fish that start spawning in, you know, early February.
That's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, you've talked about that in the past, that they get this started, you know, and it's not just one spawn cycle. There's, you know, each month we're looking at another. But I thought with that water temperature down, would it delay it to March? But you think they're going to get started here this next month?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this water temperature, it'll rebound pretty quick. I mean, you know, when I mentioned the fact that we got water, you know, it gets cold quick. But, it, you know, the flip side of that is, man,
you're breaking up on me here, Captain Wayne. Could you raise the antenna? Did we lose Captain Wayne? Captain Wayne, can you hear us? There you go, Captain Wayne. Yeah. I just lost you for about the last 20 seconds there.
I can hear you now. Can you hear
me?
Yeah,
I got you loud and clear. All right. So you're saying about the flip side is that water warms up, or?
Yeah, that water, you know, it warmed up really quick. So, you know, these fish will be, you know, they'll recover from this, you know, fairly quick. And, you know, but like I say, right now, you know, the bite's great. I mean, I'm having a really good time. But, you know, one thing I would mention, Sean, that everybody needs to keep in mind, man, if you're going to go out this time of year, make sure you let somebody know where you're launching, kind of, you know, a float plan, kind of where you're wanting to go, and make sure you've got, you know, emergency supplies with you and a dry bag with a change of clothes and some towels, because I'm telling you, buddy, if you hit 48-degree water and you don't have anything to change into, you know, that's not just that's not just a bad story. That can be life-threatening.
No, it really can. And there's not, you know, this side of it from a, I guess I'm old now, I don't know, kind of middle-aged old Causeway duck hunter. You hit that water, too. It takes your breath away. And you're not going to recover as fast as you think you were. And, you know, we started that even when we were idiot kids carrying a change of clothes in a garbage bag back then. That was our high tech. Let's do that. I'm up against the break. Coming right back. More with Captain Wayne Miller. Yeah, he makes good points. And we'll come back to this about just safety gear. Just throw some extra clothes in the boat as well. And we weren't smart enough back then to have a towel. But I've matured and I have several towels that I can keep in my boat as well. Be right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. Mike Ward will be back with us next week. And checking in right now with our buddy Captain Wayne Miller, who, first time ever I've ever seen this. He's sending me pictures of bass he was catching on Thursday. I mean, on Friday, with snow in the background. Those are frameable moments here for the Mobile Tensaw Delta, to have snow. And you said the fish are still chewing. You said, what was the water temp? You thought 48 or so?
Yeah, the first couple of places I caught them really good, it was between 46 and 48.
Mm. And if you fall into that, that's what you were talking about, Captain Wayne, and you always preach safety and wearing your life jacket and all that. But even if you have your life jacket on and you go in, if nobody's ever gone in that kind of water, unfortunately I have growing up duck hunting, it's a shock to the system. I mean, you quickly lose your ability to, like, make your fingers work and arms work. I mean, it happens really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's really critical to, you know, pay attention to that, especially if you're going to take other people out. You know, you need to make sure. And, you know, one of the biggest, challenges you have is, you know, if you do happen to get into a bind, you know, there's just so little traffic out this time of year. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know yesterday I was on the water for about 4 or 5 hours. I saw one other boat.
Wow. Yeah, you better be able to take care of yourself. And you mentioned that, and it's easy enough to do, y'all. You got an old pair of long johns, jeans, hoodie, all that stuff. Put it in one of these big... They got the big Ziploc bags. You store it in a hatch. And you mentioned towel. You know, growing up, we did finally figure out to take extra clothes. We never did figure out the towel thing. But that's a genius thing, too. You're going to want to get dried off before you put those clothes on.
Well, you know, one mistake a lot of people will make, you know, they'll get out and they'll take just, you know, their outer clothes off. But, you know, what you want to do is strip down and get all those clothes, everything that's wet, you've got to get it off because it's just sucking that heat out of you. And, you know, if you can immediately get dry and put some dry clothes on, man,
you can go back to fishing.
Yeah, it can almost be a non-event, but without it, it can be a horrific event.
Plus, the problem is, too, y'all, I mean, if you fall in and, okay, now you got to get back to the ramp. Well, running the boat, I mean, when you're completely dry on that river, run the boat, you know, and I know Captain Wayne does it for fishing. I'll be hunting up on the river. And if it's, even if it's 40 degrees, let alone some of the temps we've had down the 20s, it's 40 degrees and you're running at 30, 35 miles an hour, let alone Captain Wayne running at 135 miles an hour, the wind chill is insane.
Yeah.
Those are important tips.
Thing, you know, the good thing though, Sean, I really see, a trend where a lot more people are, they're paying attention to the
same. Having trouble hearing you there.
Thing.
There you go.
You know, we just encourage everybody to, you know, just think about those things and prepare for them beforehand.
No, it's right. And listen, y'all got extra clothes you don't need. Just leave them packed up with a towel in the boat. Don't even think about it. Just keep them stashed in there. You know, it'll make you happy one day. All right, Captain Wayne, I got to ask you this. So I've seen the pictures that you're sending me. There's trees in the background, so you're in the middle delta most likely. What about south? What about if I'm going to get a picture with a bass with some cane in the background, not cypress and oaks? They down by the causeway still good, or what are your feelings on that?
Yeah, they're still biting down there, Sean. I mean, you know, kind of what I gauge that by this time of year is, you know, if I'm looking at a real strong wind, you know, I may look at fishing some of the creeks in the middle and waiting until I got a good tide with a little less wind, because the only problem down along the causeway, and I don't have to tell you this, but I mean, there's virtually, you know, no wind breaks.
Right.
So, you know, when you get down there, if, you know, if they're forecasting 15 to 18 mile an hour winds, that means it's probably going to be blowing 25. And, you know, it can be a real challenge where there's a lot of creeks in the middle delta that you can launch relatively close to them and go fish and almost get completely out of the wind.
Yeah, and that's true, too. That's a good point, because you can find, you know, and also people are, if you're used to launching, you know, on the causeway and running way up, this is the time of year you might take advantage of launching in, you know, Saraland or Satsuma or over at, you know, on the Eastern Shore, you know.
Yeah. Live Oak. I mean, there's, you know, we got a lot of places to launch. And, you know, this time of year, it's a good idea to, you know, try to stay relatively close. I mean, it's hard to do as big as this delta.
I know it's sacrilegious for a bass fisherman to launch a boat and not go get on it and run for a while. But, I mean, I'm trying to give away spots. But out of Live Oak, somebody could putt and get to where they can start catching bass. They don't even have to even get up on a plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some phenomenal creeks that are, you know, have launches in them or relatively close to them. I mean, you know, you can launch at cliffs and go right across the river. You can go up to Dennis. I mean, there's just so many different places you can go. And the great thing about this time of year, I mean, all these creeks, the creeks are loaded. I don't care if you're in the middle or on the causeway. You know, the fish are there. Now, that's not a guarantee you're going to catch them, but they are there. I mean, that's where they are this time of year. So, you know, it's really good to, you know, go and learn some. You know, go to some of these creeks you never had fish before and spend some time on them. You know, it's that's the only way you're going to learn them.
Absolutely. Well said. Or, you know, when the way to move your education forward in light years is to book a trip with Captain Wayne to go catch. And so tell folks how to do that, that whether it be this time of year, they're looking forward to spring, how they get a trip booked with you.
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right, Captain Wayne, we'll let you get back to it. And I love those pictures. We'll get some of those posted up on our social media. Bass with snow in the background in the Delta. Great stuff. Thanks, Captain Wayne.
Okay, Sean, have a great one. Thanks.
You too. All right, and y'all have a great one. We'll do it again next week. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And remember, show replays in podcast form later today at Post, but you can catch it tonight at 11 or tomorrow twice on Sunday here at FM Talk 106.5.